A study that appeared this week in a prestigious scientific journal in Britain is as notable for the researchers as for the research. A group of 8 to 10-year-olds investigated the way bumblebees see colors and patterns. It was just an elementary school science project, but the children did their experiments so thoroughly that the study was published in Biology Letters, a journal of Britain's Royal Society. Neuroscientist Bo Lotto of University College London coordinated the study. He joins us from his home outside London. Now, you're not an elementary school student, Bo Lotto, you're a neuroscientist. What did these elementary school students, though, discover that adult scientists with PhDs had not seen before?
Well, of course, people have known that bees see color, but the reason why we do studies on bees is to be able to find out not only how they perceive the world, but how we make sense of the world. The bee brain, like ours, evolved to recognize objects under different lights, under different distances, things like this. And so what the kids were asking is, how do the bees do this? And so they set the bees a specific puzzle. And that puzzle was a contextual puzzle. It was an if-then question. If this, then that. It's the kind of puzzles that computers find very difficult solving.
All right. I want to hear from your son, Misha, who was involved in the study, his view on how they set up the experiment. Can you let me speak with him real quick?
He's right here.
Hi, Misha.
Hello.
Now, I understand one of the conclusions of your study is that science is cool and fun because you get to do stuff that no one's done before. But I want you to tell us what was involved in your study. How did you come to this conclusion that bumblebees use a combination of color and spatial relationships in deciding what color of flower to forage from?
Well, you all thought of a question that we could design around bees. And the design was that there was a big glass cube container splitting into quarters with a series of dots in there, blue surrounded by yellow, yellow surrounded by blue, and all the middle colors had sugar water in, and when the bees went to the middle blue, we'd see if they would learn and go to the middle yellow.
So how did you feel when you learned that the study you were involved in got published by Biology Letters?
I was really proud of myself because I thought it was an adult thing. Only adults could do this, but kids could as well.
Was this one of the moments in your schooling where you think, you know, your mind was changed about what you're going to do with the rest of your life? Are you a science geek, or do you think this is something that you're going to pursue professionally?
Yeah, definitely.
So you're a scientist now for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Bo Lotto, let me speak to you now. Where do you think the study takes the scientist, the professional scientist, next? I mean, is a door open now to explore that you hadn't thought of before?
Well, the beauty of any good study is not only the information it gives you, but the questions it raises. And we've already come up with a number of questions on the back of this particular study that we're going to pursue in the lab. So, for instance, one of the things that this kid's discovered is that different bees were applying different strategies to solve the puzzle. Mm. So two, for instance, seem to be biased to going to the middle. They almost seem to learn the concept of middleness, whereas other bees seem to be looking at an explicit pattern of color in space. So we want to explore this further, this idea that bees, individual bees, might apply different strategies to solve the same puzzle.
I find it really interesting, Dr. Lotto, that you're not a teacher at this school, but you stepped into this science education class to work with the kids. And you were quoted in a paper recently saying it's something that lots of schools could do. Explain that.
Well, I'm not a science teacher, but I've been doing public engagement of science for quite a long time. The reason why I think many schools could do this is because I think there are basically three things that need to be supported. The first one is just access to resource, that if you want to do science, of course, it requires some stuff. Mm. In this case, it requires a bumblebee arena. But the bumblebee arena itself is actually quite a cheap object. The other thing that the schools need or classes need is confidence, that the questions that they're asking are interesting not only to themselves, but to other people.
Mm, good point.
And the third thing I think they need is an ability to disseminate what they discover. Because, of course, science is only relevant and interesting if you can share it. And that's basically what we did, is we provided a framework for the kids to be able to do experiments, have confidence that the questions they were asking were genuinely interesting to other people as well as themselves, and an ability to then communicate it.
Bo Lotto, a neuroscientist at the University College in London, and Misha Lotto, who was one of the pupils involved in the bee study. Thank you both very much, Dr. Lotto and Dr. Lotto to be.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.